This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
Caregivers around the world today, it's time to lift you up. It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned. Because I got a whole bunch of that stuff.
Yes, you do.
And with me, as always, is my best friend, my co-host, and my sidekick, not psychic, Lynn Thornley.
Good afternoon.
How are you today?
Good. We have a full house.
Yes, we have a full house with great guests. And we have two cousins here from Michigan, Cindy and Steve. So glad to have them. We've been having fun this week. Been doing some fun stuff. And my new baby puppy, Charlie, has just been absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
So I'm so glad to be here today. We have Ed on the boards. How you doing, Ed?
You know, I was thinking.
What?
Just 1 week, I want you to introduce Lynn as your psychic. And see if she catches it.
Well, you know
what? Nice, Ed.
When the show first started, I used to say she was my sidekick, and then people thought I was saying psychic. So I was like,
Did people start calling in and asking me first?
Yeah, because I have an appointment with Lynn. Yeah.
It's your crystal ball today.
Yeah. So we have a great show today. We have Dr. London Butterfield with us today, and Kim Saberi from St. Anthony's, and we have Maria Pepe from Empath. So I'm so happy with you today. First thing I want to do is give a shout out to our newest listeners. We have Jenny in Orlando. We have Michaela in St. Pete. And we have Susan in Largo.
Welcome, ladies.
And like I say, there's always plenty of room around the Connecting Caregivers table for new listeners, whether you listen live on AMFM or on YouTube or on Facebook. I'm now an influencer on YouTube. So but that's good because we're bringing a lot of content out there. And the main thing I want to do is to bring help and hope to caregivers, to let you know that you're not alone, and to help you just go through the maze of what's ever going on. And a lot of our listeners have to deal with Alzheimer's, dementia, cognitive impairment, and that's how we're going to start the chat today. So introduce yourself, Kelly, and let's just get this on the road.
All right, I'm London Butterfield. I'm a neuropsychologist with BayCare. You want me to tell you about what I do?
Yep.
So as a neuropsychologist, most patients are referred to me from their primary care provider or from a neurologist in order to assess their cognitive function.
Right.
So their thinking skills, whether there's a concern of memory decline or some other thinking ability.
Be sharp today, Lenny.
I will.
I'm on alert. I'm watching you. Taking notes. and so most of the time, it's really variable in terms of the kinds of patients that I might see, but the majority are individuals who are concerned about memory change.
Right.
They want to know, is this normal for age?
Right.
That's probably the biggest question
exactly.
that I get, especially from those who are referring themselves.
Yes.
Because age does
affect your thinking to some degree
but
in certain aspects.
You have a memory disorder.
Right, exactly.
You know, whenever I speak, I'll give like a few tips and I say it to the audience and all of a sudden they go, oh, God,
yeah.
I don't have it. You know?
Right, and there's certain things that you would expect to change with age.
Yes.
And there are certain things that would be considered abnormal.
Right.
And that's really hard to know unless you have an evaluation where we are comparing you to others your same age.
Okay.
You know, and that's how we are able to tell and answer that question.
So what kind of test do you give them?
So when a person comes in, the first thing I'll do is interview them, see if they notice any changes.
The patient themselves
experiencing
which
the
concern. Which is nice,
because
a lot of doctors don't talk to the patient. They talk to their
right.
loved one.
Right, yes. I make sure
their
to
caregiver.
Speak with the patient and the family
yes.
separately, too, because
oh, that's good.
Sometimes, you know, a lot of times it wouldn't matter to a person, but for some people, they really prefer, especially as the family member who is trying to deal with a situation where the person is not aware of their memory decline.
Right.
It's real sticky and a little uncomfortable to talk about what I'm noticing in you in front of the person. So,
especially if they haven't had that conversation.
Because
I bet you the first time some of them do it is when they come to see you.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, there were times when if I have to do the testing, then sometimes I have to have them together, but that's very rare. That's only if my psychometrist is out sick. She does the testing with them while I'm doing my interviews. But I notice that it's a little bit more uncomfortable. You have them both in the room, and then one's trying to, like, give me winks, and,
you know, they feel
uncomfortable. So I really try to keep those interviews separate to find out what are the symptoms. What are there memory changes? Are there changes in speech? Is there change in judgment or decision-making? Is there getting lost? Is the person having trouble finding their way? Is there behavior, personality change? Maybe there is no memory change, but there's personality change that's concerning. Or the person's seeing things that aren't there and they don't have any of the other problems. So the symptoms are variable, you know, depending on the person and what the etiology is. But that's the first part. And then when the patient goes in the room and does the testing, there's all kinds of tests that they do. We look at their memory. Can you remember a list of words? Can you remember some stories?
Can you draw a clock?
Can you draw? We actually skipped that one, because usually they've done something like that with their primary care doctor or their neurologist. They'll usually do the shorter ones, and we do the real in-depth ones, you know.
You know, I tell my grandchildren and my daughter, if I ever get Alzheimer's and dementia, I know every trick in the book, so watch out.
Yeah, I worry about that too, you know. I probably know all the tests. But we can always, I've had that situation too, where somebody was a psychologist and they need evaluation. So we talk about what tests you don't know, because there's so many out there that I could use.
Yeah.
And we kind of narrow it down that way. But they go through this evaluation, the interview, maybe 30 minutes or more with the patient. And then the testing itself can be between 2 and 3 hours.
Wow.
So it's a lot more in depth than what you would get if you went
Medicare
to the neurologist.
Medicare makes you have it every year.
Oh, the screener.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like 5 minutes.
That's right. Yeah. And if they notice a problem, typically they refer the patient to me for more in-depth evaluation.
Right.
And that's important, because sometimes you may be anxious on that day when you had the 5 minute screener.
Right. Or you could be, your medication is having some influence.
That's right. You may have a B12 deficiency or something. Yeah. That's right.
And the nurse gave me a tip. She says, when I give you the list of words, sing them.
Oh,
in your head.
That's a good idea.
And then you'll remember them. So I was singing away.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Or related.
Potatoes, cats, and asparagus. It's not so much easier to remember. Wait till you get yours.
I don't have to have it yet. Well, whatever.
Or you have to visualize it. You know, imagine the cat standing on top of the roof, and then the other word, whatever it is, plate, eating from a plate. Just try to picture something silly, and that helps sometimes.
Yeah. All right, so we're talking about here with major neurocognitive disorder versus minor neurocognitive disorder versus normal age-related. Because this is what everybody wants to know right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good question.
And
so
I do believe diagnosis is the most important thing.
The diagnosis helps us to know, is this normal aging? If it isn't normal aging,
what could it be?
What could it be? And then how severe is it? Is it just really mild? Is it more serious than that? And then what should we expect moving forward? You know, based on the etiology, you can expect different things. So we look at, is this normal aging versus mild cognitive impairment, otherwise known as mild neurocognitive disorder, or is this dementia, otherwise known as major neurocognitive disorder?
Oh.
And so the difference is, with mild neurocognitive disorder, on the testing, compared to others your same age, you're having a deficit in at least one area of cognitive function, but maybe in multiple areas. And that deficit is noticeable on testing, but it's not interfering
with your
everyday life, with your ability to manage your medications, your money, your bills. You know, you can still prepare meals and so forth. So it's not influencing your day-to-day life very much, but others may notice it. You may notice it too, depending, again, on the etiology. Some people aren't aware.
Right.
And then if it's dementia, that just means that that cognitive deficit is to the degree where it is affecting those day-to-day tasks.
Right.
And it's not due to a psychological issue. It's not due to delirium. So that also has to be considered
UTI,
in that too.
Or many other things that it could be, or depression, or
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so then we get a diagnosis of dementia. Mm-hmm. Now we need to know what kind.
Right. So that's based on the pattern on the cognitive testing. So when I look at all of the tests, and there are many tests that are done in that 2 to 3 hour period. It's not just memory that we look at. We look at aspects of naming and language. We look at spatial skills or speed of thinking or mental flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
And so if a person has what looks to me like a pre-Alzheimer's disease, it will show a certain pattern of deficits and a certain pattern of strengths. Certain things will be unaffected relatively, mm-hmm. and certain things will be more affected. And even the memory pattern will look different. So if it's a vascular etiology, a Lewy body etiology, a frontotemporal etiology, something that's more medical, like autoimmune issues or deficiencies in vitamins, you know, those things look a little different than an Alzheimer's pattern. Right. With an Alzheimer's pattern, the hallmark feature is that you have difficulty encoding new memories. Your old memories should be intact.
Yeah, okay.
You know, but you have a hard time encoding the memory. So when I say, okay, what were the words from the list, or what were the pictures I had you try to remember earlier, they may have trouble recalling that, but that might happen even in a Parkinson's disease or in a vascular issue. That might happen in a lot of things. And the screeners often stop there. The next thing that's really important is, if I try to jog your memory, can I get it out?
Yeah.
And in Alzheimer's, usually that won't help very much.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so what if I'm concerned about my loved one? I see that things aren't right. I'm afraid, like I see weird things when they're driving, or I see some, you know, they're not remembering to take their medication. When am I to the point where I'm concerned that I have to take them for testing?
Yeah.
Because that's the question I get from my caregivers all the time.
That's a tough one.
And then they always want to know if MCI can go away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so there's two questions there. Let me start. I guess I'll start. Hopefully I remember both of them as we go.
That's all right.
The first
That's why
one.
I have Lynn here. If I don't, you will. Yeah.
What was the first question? No,
yes.
So when to take your loved one? If you believe that you're seeing a problem that is more than is normal,
mm-hmm.
first of all, get in as early as you can, because sometimes you have to wait a really long time to get seen.
Yeah.
Go ahead and get that referral sent over. The first thing I think is really important is to just mention it to the doctor. If they are averse to going to get their memory tested, that'll be an easy way to kind of start the process anyway, because they go to the doctor anyway. They're used to that.
Right.
Let them, or ask them, to check for reversible causes.
Okay.
Check my lab work, make sure mm-hmm. there's no vitamin deficiencies, thyroid abnormalities. B1 and folate and vitamin D are really common ones. So that's a first look. And then if the primary care doctor is willing to order a brain scan, that's great too. Go ahead and rule out small strokes, anything abnormal that's visible on a brain image. At that time, they can go ahead and refer for a neuropsych evaluation. I always say it's better to go ahead and do it sooner than later, because the evaluation, even if it's early on, it can provide somewhat of a baseline for me.
Okay.
So that if somebody comes back in 2 or 3 or even 5 years, now I have something of them to compare back to.
And
somebody who has a tendency to perform above average, that's extremely helpful, because 5 years ago they were performing better than 85% of people on these tests, and now they're performing average.
Yeah.
And so then I can see a change that if I hadn't had their baseline, I might not know whether or not it's a change.
Interesting.
Yeah. Oh. And then the other part, what was the other question? Something about MCI.
Does MCI go away?
Oh, yeah. So it can, and it depends on the pattern of mild cognitive impairment.
Okay.
So in amnestic mild cognitive impairment, where memory is the primary area of deficit, about 10 to 15% of those individuals with that pattern convert each year to Alzheimer's disease. And about, I would say about 85% or more end up converting overall, maybe 90%.
Okay.
So there's that subsection of people who they do improve or they stay the same. And those that improve, it's usually because there's some underlying medical issue that's discovered.
Yeah. There's no medication. To help.
There is. It depends, again, on the pattern. So with certain processes like frontotemporal dementia, those medications are not as effective. In Alzheimer's, there's medications that are more effective. There's a lot of behavioral approaches that I talk about, how to keep your brain sharp, how to keep your memory sharp. Really, what we can do is slow down the functional decline more than anything.
Right.
We're not stopping the pathology per se, but we're slowing that functional decline, which is very important because that's what's tied to our quality of life.
Okay. So then I get the diagnosis, and the next person I need to meet is Kim Saberi, right?
That's right. So
come over here, Kim. Let's talk a little bit more. Come closer to me so we can get Kim in the camera also.
Okay.
What's with the camera? I think I see it now. Okay. So, Kim, you're a master social worker at St. Anthony's. We've known each other for a long time. You've been on the show before. Tell me what's going on there, what the memory disorder clinic does, and what it's the new stuff that's going on.
Okay. All right. Well, the Memory Disorder Center is a free outpatient support center for people with cognitive issues and their loved ones. We can help people kind of anywhere they are on the spectrum of memory loss and cognitive impairment. That if they're wondering if it's normal aging, they can come in for a memory screening.
Mm-hmm.
And we can either recommend, yep, seems like you need neuropsych testing more in depth, or seems like this is normal for your age, then we'll help them with strategies for brain wellness. And we also help families with planning for the future, figuring out ways to help keep their loved one as safe and independent as possible, how to communicate with your loved one with dementia, how to manage challenging behaviors.
There's a lot to learn. You've never been in this before.
That's right. It's a huge learning curve.
Yeah. And your neighbors aren't even talking to you about it because you're not telling anybody because you don't want anybody to know.
Or your husband said something and they don't want to know you anymore.
So
we have caregiver support groups that meet a couple times a month, and that's a great way for people to get support from others that are walking through the same shoes as they are. And we also have different special events.
Social events.
Yeah. So on March 10th, we're going to be doing a cruise at a Clearwater beach on the Starlight Majesty. So we're taking 50 people with dementia and their loved ones on a 2.5-hour lunch cruise.
That's fabulous.
Nice. And it's just a nice opportunity for them to socialize in a judgment-free zone and connect with others.
With others that know exactly what you're going through.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's a big deal.
And then on April 1st, we're having a Caregiver Wellness Day retreat at the Opal Sands Resort in Clearwater Beach. And so this is for caregivers only. And it's going to be a whole day of just respite, pampering, supporting each other. We'll have support groups. We'll have yoga. They'll get massages.
It's all good.
It's going to be really nice. We just continue to have events like that. And for those who would like to know more about those, you can go on our website, which is baycarememories.org, and call our center, and we can add you to the e-newsletter that we send out once a month with all the events going on.
And I'll put all this information in the show for anybody that's not writing it down right now. But I understand that you and your colleagues have spent some time this past year discovering that there are people that are being underserved.
Yes. We really wanted to look at some of the minority groups and what are their barriers to getting care when it comes to diagnosis, dementia education, and support, and how can we better help meet those needs. And so one of the groups that we looked at was the LGBTQIA plus community. And
pretty soon it's going to be the whole alphabet.
Yes.
I didn't know the last two.
Yeah.
IA.
Yes, it's always growing, which is good. But the LGBT, for short, community is underserved when it comes to dementia care. Many times they're uncomfortable reaching out for medical yep. care because they've been discriminated against in the yeah. past. So they're less likely to get preventative screenings. They have greater health disparities. So they're many of the risk factors for dementia, they're at higher risk for, like depression and cardiovascular yeah. disease, things like that. So it's just, it's also a matter of, you know, they're less likely to have children to help care that's for right. them.
And they might not even have family because their family might have said bye-bye.
That's mm-hmm. right. That's right. So their family of origin might not be who they consider to be their family. Mm-hmm. So 34% of LGBT older adults live alone. 40% report that their support networks have become smaller over time.
Mm-hmm.
So we're dealing with less education, yeah. less support, less willingness to reach out for support.
Yeah.
So some of the things that we're doing at the Memory Disorder Center to help, you know, try to help with that is just continuing education and sensitivity yeah. training, and then letting people know that we're LGBT friendly and welcoming by showing that through our marketing materials and by going to places where LGBT people hang out and offering memory screenings regularly there, which people will be more inclined to come there than maybe come into the hospital right. to get a screening.
Right.
So those are some of the things that we're doing, and we're just trying to stay aware and, see what else we can do to help, or we want to help.
Yeah, I love that Jen Silent movie. It just so much explains what's going on with a lot of the LGBTQ. And I remember years ago, there were two women that lived in a community, and they said they were
sisters.
But they weren't. And then, I don't know how many years ago it was, the law changed that they could get married. And so they went and they got married that day down in St. Pete. And they came back to tell all their friends at dinner, and their friends never talked to them again.
Not only didn't talk to them, were quite nasty. Yeah, they wouldn't get in the elevator with them.
Yeah, wouldn't get in the elevator with them. They had to move out of the community. So that breaks my heart. And then there's other stuff like that, I'm sure, going on. But also, we're talking about, too, what about our Spanish community?
Yes, so Maria is going to tell you all about that.
We're going to have Maria tell me in a minute, but I just want to, because Maria's from Empath, and we're going to say that. Let's just go to the commercials, because if you don't hear from our sponsors, you don't hear from me, so don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Sean W. Scott has been practicing elder law and qualifying clients for Medicaid for over 30 years. While his practice is in all areas of estate planning, such as durable power of attorney, healthcare surrogates, and wills, he also prides himself on having a 100% accuracy rate on getting clients approved for Medicaid. Why Medicaid, you may ask? Do you want to pay up to $16,000 a month for a nursing home should the time come? Obviously, no one wants to have to endure this cost. So, even though you may have planned well for retirement, the reality is things happen. Planning ahead is never too soon. You need to make sure your income and assets are protected so that you can take care of you and your loved ones. Florida law is very specific on how and what is protected and how to protect it. Give Sean a call. He can help. 727-539-0181. That's 727-539-0181.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
And we're back. So before we speak to the lovely Maria Pepe, I want to let you know of a couple events that are going on. So Thursday, March 9th, it's the Fragile Years, Proven Strategies for the Care of Aging Loved Ones, sponsored by Arden Quartz. And if you're interested, the number is 727-771-1600. I'll also have this in the show description. Then on Wednesday, March 15th, at 11 a.m., it's Dementia Fairy Tales Old and New. Some of you probably heard that because Dr. Kate presented that at my last conference, and it's just fabulous. And there's a bunch of support groups that I have, that St. Anthony's has, that Kate has, and if you want any of that information, go to the website under events. And one last thing I want to mention, the next conference that's coming up is May 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. So Dr. Kate will be back with us. I'm very excited. Sean Scott, Teresa Wilbanks, Palm Garden, Chaplain Jerry, St. Anthony's, yeah. Ryan Hurd, United Tissue, so Accent Care Hospice, we have a lot going on. And just remember when the time comes, I'll let you know when registration is open. We're just firming up everything to get the website up. Just remember, I don't expect you to come for all 3 days. As long as you register for the conference, which is totally free to caregivers, you'll receive 21 videos of the conference after the conference to watch at your leisure or repeat. Or because we know with caregiving, you could be watching this is really good and then mom has to go to the bathroom. Oh, done. So you can come back and listen to whatever you want. So Maria, let's talk a little bit about the Spanish community and what's going on and what your efforts are. But first, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you, Linda, for having me. So I do work as a community liaison for Empath Health, and I believe in 2017 I started a partnership with the Alzheimer's Association to get trained as a support group facilitator. It was personal to me. My mother dealt with dementia, and I was her caregiver for over 10 years while caring for two children in grade school and a full-time job, etc. So it became my passion. As I always said, I don't know what I would have done without the resources that I found, but that was my privilege. I worked in healthcare.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure caregivers are connected to resources that are available to them. And that's why, I keep doing what I'm doing. So,
well, the Spanish community seems to think, I think even more so than other communities, that this is my responsibility.
Yes.
This is my response. We can do it at home. It's my responsibility.
Yes.
Aunt Mary will come over, something like that. And they're getting burned out.
Not only that, but
they're not getting the resources.
They're not getting the resources, and it seems like we're frozen time in the times where the economy, global economy, allow for people to not work. Some people in so many families were able to be home and care for grandbabies, nieces, nephew, or an aging family member. That doesn't exist anymore. No. Everybody works until, you know, we're super exhausted. Not only that, migration also has created a lot of Hispanic families that are very small and very lonely. So this image that we have, the Hispanic Latino family are huge. I don't see them in the community. When I go and see a couple, you know, they're in their 80s, that's it. Children move to another state, and this is where they stay, and they are alone. So a lot of the misconceptions that we have as Latinos are actually stopping us from you know, reaching out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're doing support groups.
I'm doing support groups, and recently I completed my certifications to also educate, because I listen to you a lot, Linda, and how can we help a caregiver if they don't know their caregivers?
Right.
We have to begin there. And how do we help a caregiver and a care receiver if they don't even know what they're going through? So I also, through the Alzheimer's Association, I teach on 10 warning signs, understanding dementia and other, and Alzheimer's, and healthy living for the brain and body. And I do that in Spanish as well.
And so, how can people find out about that?
So normally people call the Alzheimer's Association, the local chapter, and they can book. But I can also give you my phone number, and they can do it through, you know, directly through me. But the idea is for people to reach out to the Alzheimer's Association.
Yeah, and it would be great. I need you to come and do a guest tip with me for one of my Tuesday tips, and let's do it in Spanish. I think that would be really, really helpful. What kind of advice do you want to give to the Latino community out there on what they should do and how they can find resources? And
so, I understand a lot of Latinos may want to keep this as a private matter, and going to your medical professional is still private. If you go and speak with your nurse, if you go and speak with your doctor, it's still a private matter. And start getting resources from there, you know, and seek resources early. I always tell people, you know, I understand it's not easy to have someone come into the house.
Yeah.
But you also don't want your loved one to be petrified of all strangers or only be used to be with you. Find ways around, because it's, I haven't seen it getting better. It normally gets worse.
Yeah.
And the health of the caregiver, I mean, I work for hospice. We see it sometimes that you don't even know who's the patient and who's the caregiver.
Who's the caregiver, yeah.
When you go in to an admission, that's how deteriorated the caregiver is. So we want to, you know, have better outcomes. And
we don't want the caregiver to pass away before the person they're caring for. Because then what happens? The worst scenario comes true.
And unfortunately, it has happened.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And then now your loved one has never had any interaction with anybody else, and you're gone. What happens then?
Absolutely. So adult daycares, and so I was honored to be reached when Kim reached out to me to be part of this minority health initiative, and putting together resources. So in that list of resources that she created and put together for the Spanish-speaking community, the list of adult day centers that have a lot of staff that speak Spanish is huge.
Yes.
They're fun, and, you know, I know
there are TLC.
TLC.
They're so fabulous.
Yes.
Yeah, Maria's.
Yes. Yeah. My mom went to, shameless plug, but my mom went to Seabreeze Adult Day Center for like 6 or 5 years. It was really, really good. And I know there is no clinical research supporting my theory, but Mom never went through sundowning. She was so exhausted from playing around, exercising, socializing at the day center that, you know, she slept through the night.
Who wants to sit home alone?
Yes, absolutely.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, if all of a sudden, you know, years ago they put Mom to bed.
Yes.
Mom got sick, they put her in the bedroom, they put her in the bed, she didn't come back out anymore.
Yes.
We don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. And we want the caregivers to be able to take care of themselves. And if they don't, and I hate to say this, it's a little harsh, but if you don't take care of yourself, you're doing an injustice to your loved one.
Absolutely. And so, again, privacy, I know is important for the Latino community, but support groups are very private. What happens at the support group stays at the support group. I have no business talking
exactly
with anybody at Publix, a participant from my group, you know, about somebody else. So it's we have rules around the group, and there is no judgment, and it's a place where people can really feel free to express how they feel, no judgment, and
they get to be friends with other people that are in the same boat as them.
Yes. So if they want to go out, if they, you know, befriend each other, they want to go out after and say, you know what, we're not going to be talking about caregiver role. We're going to talk about the weather. That's fine. Yeah. But if they choose to, you know, talk about what they're going through, guess what? You are with someone that has an easier understanding of what you're going
through. Because if you haven't been in it, you don't get it. You know, a few weeks ago, I was in my mail room. Two ladies were in there I didn't know. One lady opened up her mailbox and it was so stuffed, all the mail fell out on the ground. She started crying. And I'm thinking, it's only mail. You know, and I picked it up and all of a sudden she goes, my husband has dementia, I'm just so isolated, I can't. And the other lady goes, my husband has dementia too. So I'm like, you girls need to be friends and you need to make me your friend too.
Yes.
And a couple weeks later, I see them walking around the property with their loved ones. So, you know, we just need to do that. It's we think so much that it's our, you know, our response, and especially the Latino community.
Mm-hmm.
And the African-American community, too. It's my responsibility. It's my responsibility. We can only do it in the family. But the family's not big enough to do that anymore.
Big enough, available. And another thing
available.
Is, yes. And another thing that I have mentioned to people, we have demonized facilities, and that's not good for anybody. You know, when it comes to facilities, ALFs, or nursing homes, of course we're going to have the good, the bad, and the ugly. But at the end of the day, we can become inadequate to care for our loved ones. When our loved one needs to person assist, when our loved one needs two people to move them on the bed, or for them to shower, or they can wander, how is that appropriate? So now it's time to start talking about, and you know, maybe providing a system of where you can visit so often the facility and check on your loved one and ask questions to the CNAs and the nurses.
Yeah.
But I think some of the preconceptions that we have put around caring for our elders is becoming our own barrier, thinking that family is going to be available, that we have all these cousins and aunts and uncles, or we'll never even think of a facility. And at the end of the day, I have been to many facilities, and a lot of Latinos out there, you know, and it's no helpful for their loved one to carry with that shame. Yeah. You know, so if they went to a facility, now they feel embarrassed.
I didn't
to say,
do a good enough job. I couldn't take, I'm a big caregiver.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, it's really interesting. I took that list. I spoke at Indian Rocks Baptist Church last night. I took that Spanish list. They really have actually have a Spanish ministry over there.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to hook them up with you. But it's good. The more people we can get this information out there for, the better it is.
Yes.
And do you find there are some communities that have more Spanish-speaking people? Like, if somebody was looking for a place right now, are there any communities that are just for Spanish people or for Latino people?
When it comes to ALFs and nursing homes, I haven't done really much homework on that. But I also have seen a lot of increase on staff that are Spanish-speaking all over.
Yeah.
So that's already reassuring. But, you know, that's an idea to start working on a list that can give us, you know.
So you know where to go.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
I have to tell you gals about something new that I just think is absolutely fabulous. So I had this idea maybe 10 years ago. Wouldn't it be cool in the community, because we know how the staff changes, that we have an iPad on the wall and you could push it and it says, Mary lives here, Mary has three children, Mary's from Brooklyn or whatever it is. Because you know, when you go into the community, you fill out all that paperwork and the first group reads it. Who sees it after that as the staff changes? And anytime I talked about it, it was like HIPAA, blah, blah, blah. Well, I met this girl about 9 months ago. Her dad is in Arden Courts in Palm Harbor. They're doing a test there. She created a QR code for her dad.
Oh.
And her dad was a professional football player. So it shows a little bit of him, you know, as the football player. And then it says, my dad loves watching sports on TV, but nothing else. And her dad's nonverbal. So don't you think we need to know that?
Yeah. And he likes hot dogs.
And yeah, when he was still speaking, she said, Dad, strawberry ice cream, yes. Seafood, no. You know, and went through the whole list. And then she said at the end, if all else fails and my dad is really agitated, give him a hot dog with mustard and relish and he'll be good. No, we need to know that. So she put the QR, and then there was like their kids introduced themselves. She put the QR code on the door of his room and said, anybody that checks this out, I'll give him a Starbucks coffee. Oh, everybody in the whole community. Oh, everybody's talking to Dad. Oh, my goodness. So now she's made a QR code for everybody. But then she also went one step further where she went in and she started interviewing the caregivers. You're taking care of my dad? Tell me about you. Yeah. Do you like dogs? Come on.
Yes.
The morale is up.
Yeah.
The conversation is more. Mm-hmm. And more and more things that become available. It's just so fabulous that we can really do things that make a difference.
Yes.
And she has the QR code on her business card. So if dad goes for blood work, hey, you want to watch this little video of my dad? And it's setting yourself up for success. You know, my friend Brian LeBlanc has Alzheimer's. And he actually has made a video because he knows someday he'll be in a community. Mm-hmm. And the video says, Hi, I don't like breakfast first thing in the morning. I just want coffee in the morning. I like to have my breakfast around 10 o'clock. He said, I like to go outside every day if possible. I would like to have a pet. Well, you know, I like this, I like that. And I love the Beatles, but don't be putting the whole Revolution album on all day in my ears. But what is success? Setting yourself up for success.
Yes.
And I think so, that we want to set up caregivers for success in all areas that we can. Whether it's a support group, whether it's the newest adaptable clothing, you know, because so many different things are happening in our communities that it's very exciting that we can have these things.
I agree.
It's very cool. So that's Native Technologies, and her name is Jessie Brown. And you can find her information. If you can't find anything, just give me a ring at Linda Burhans at AOL. But right now, it's time to hear from our wonderful partners. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, proud stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Introducing the life-changing Footbar Walker.
I'm Peggy from Danville, Kentucky, and I'm 91 years old. The Footbar Walker revolutionized my care of George. It absolutely benefits the patient and the caregiver both, and that's the beauty of it. It's so easy to use. It folds up just like a dream. I got it in and out of the car without any effort at all. The saving that I made from having to put him in a nursing home came to about $192,000.
Does someone you love use a walker? Do they struggle to get up from a seated position? Are you a caregiver dealing with physical pain and stress as you help your patient? The Footbar Walker was designed to assist not only the patient, but also the caregiver. Patients have more control standing up, and no lifting from the caregiver is required. See how it works at thefootbarwalker.com. That's thefootbarwalker.com. Peggy, would you recommend the Footbar Walker?
Do I ever? I would not be in the health that I'm in today at this age had it not been for the Footbar Walker.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Yes, we love the Footbar Walker, and I believe the Footbar Walker is now covered by insurance. And I believe the Footbar Walker is going to be demonstrated in my next conference. So know that there are fabulous things out there. I'm never trying to sell anything. I'm just trying to show people some things that might help them. We're going to come back to Dr. Butterfield in a minute, but I want to mention the caregiver contest because the winner will be picked this week. So go to my website, lindaburhans.com. It's a very short form that you fill out. Just nominate a caregiver. I don't care if it's a professional caregiver, if it's a CNA, if it's your mother, if it's your sister, if it's your spouse, or whoever it is. It takes 5 minutes to nominate them. Every single person that is nominated receives a gift. And then once every quarter, we pick out one main winner, and we just pick out the name because you're all winners to us, and you'll get some Amazon gift cards, some public gift cards, a massage, a facial, whatever swag everybody gives us. But the caregivers are just so touched that someone just even nominates them. I can't tell you the difference it makes. And that's such an easy thing to do because so many of us say, oh, I wish there's some way I could help my sister. She takes care of my mom so much. Just nominate her. Please just do that. And if anybody else is thinking about helping a caregiver, when you go to the store, if there's any BOGO, the second one goes to your neighbor who's a caregiver. It's a really easy thing to do. Say, hey, I got it for free. Here, you gotta take it. I have this one little cul-de-sac of people. They all decided to do this. And so when they all put their old BOGOs together. And then on a Friday, they bring them all over to this one lady's house. And she doesn't feel like anybody like really went out of their way because it's just a little here and a little there and everything. But it's really worked. Because we want our neighbors to know what's going on because your neighbors want to help you. You know, if we keep saying, no, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay, they're going to stop asking. And then when they stop asking, you're not going to be okay because you really are going to be alone. So please do that. And many times your loved one, believe me, under their breath, they're saying, could you go away for a little while and get somebody else over here except you? So think about that. So, Dr. Butterfield, what's some of the last things you want our listeners to hear today?
Yeah. So a lot of patients of mine, their families are saying, hey, I've been a caregiver, and I'm now concerned for myself. What should I do to protect my brain
right.
from future dementia? And so there are things you can do. Number one, build what we call cognitive reserve early on. So if you are trying to stay mentally active and learn and keep those brain cells firing, we do see that individuals who do that earlier on, they have more protection. So essentially, more brain cells that are connected.
That are working. Yeah.
You have more to lose over time. You have further to fall, which ends up being protection. Keep your heart and your vessels healthy. That's probably the most important thing. And you can do that in many ways, one of which is, number one, physical exercise, especially cardiovascular.
Right. Number one problem for everything is inflammation?
That's right. Inflammation, vascular issues. Yeah, and if you have vascular issues or cardiovascular issues, then which can be affected by inflammation, you're going to be at higher risk for multiple types of dementia.
Okay.
Smoking, drinking, sleep apnea can actually affect that as well. So if you're not getting good oxygen flow through the body, it's not going to get to the brain. It's going to cause some issues from that. And then stay social. So individuals who are exercising and who are staying social tend to have better functional or slower functional decline.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Because we're social human beings and we need to do that. So when you're saying like those games and those puzzles and everything? Mm-hmm. That's what people should be doing? Crossword puzzles or what?
Anything new and novel is really what we recommend. So try to learn new things. Try to challenge your mind in some way. The brain game research, or the rehabilitation, the cognitive retraining research, is a little bit mixed. It really depends on the type of exercise that's being done. There's more support for games that are geared toward problem solving and reasoning,
okay,
where you have to figure something out. It's a little more challenging. And also, it varies based on the population. So in brain injury and stroke, there may be more of a benefit in that group than for neurodegenerative disease.
Yeah.
But there's some sort of details there. And
so
then
the crossword puzzle thing isn't
crossword best. Puzzles can be helpful. It's not going to hurt. But in most neurodegenerative processes, you don't tend to lose that language knowledge as much.
Okay, because I don't like doing them.
You may have some difficulties with access to your words, so it does keep it sharp, you know. And also there's primary progressive aphasias, types of neurodegenerative disease where that might be more helpful. But the other thing I always say is manage your stress and manage your mood and manage your sleep. Because all of those things can have negative effects on the memory systems in the brain.
And you know what? We're so lucky that we live here in Florida, and it's beautiful. Everybody can go out for a walk. Everybody can see a beautiful palm tree. Everybody can see a beautiful bird. You know, we need to do that. I tell my caregivers all the time, if you rest, you rust, and you have to move to lube. And it's true. Right. And, you know, I go to Curves 3 mornings a week. The old ladies' gym, but at least I go. But
and they're all Lindas, so she doesn't have to remember
their names. There's like 14 in the group, and like 7 of us are Lindas. Because they were all born in 1950, whatever.
So my memory's good there.
Yes, I'm like, Helen. But, you know, and there are some women much older than me that go there. And they're not even moving around really too much. But they're there.
They're doing something.
They're there. They're going there. They're talking to the other ladies. I don't care if they talk to the other ladies and go out to breakfast with them after that. They're there. And I think that's so important, because I think as caregivers, we can become very isolated very easily. And there was so much sadness during the COVID with that. But then there was gifts of COVID, too, like online support groups and journaling workshops and all that kind of good stuff. Ladies, anything else you need to say today, or we're good?
We're good.
Okay.
Yes.
So, everybody, thank you so much for being here today. Tune in next week for another fabulous show. Please go to lindaberhans.com and nominate a caregiver. I promise they'll be really happy. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.
When you're down and troubled, and you need a helping hand.